begin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy great name. We thank thee, Father, for the time that we're able to come together this morning and worship thee and study thy word. We would pray, Father, that in this land we would always have this privilege to study thee without fear and without outside interference. We pray that everything we say and do this morning would be in accordance with thy will. We pray for all those who are suffering from illness at this time. We pray that they would receive a rapid recovery and get back to their normal mode of life. We pray, Father, that that would be with all the speakers this morning. Help us all to have sufficiently studied to be able to edify everyone that listens. We pray, Father, that in all things thy will would be done. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to talk about the church this morning. We're going to talk about how we, in the church, establish authority for the things that we do. If we look at Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 22, it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." See, what we pick up there is the church lives in the spiritual realm. It's the body of Christ, over which Christ reigns as its head, and it's composed of all the saved. If we consider the word church and the way the word church is found in the Bible, if we look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18, he says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, we see that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. What we see there is the general assembly. We see the universal church. It's composed of all the saved. It's the aggregate body of all the saved that have been added to the church. But if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." See, the church of God at Corinth in Colossians 1 verses 1 and 2. He talks about the church at Colossae. See, it's a local congregation. It is geography limited. It's like those of us who live in Tulsa, we're familiar with the church at Stone Canyon in Owosso, the church at Woodland Hills. It is a local group of Christians who are assembling together to serve God. And so see, the way the church is defined in the New Testament, it is either as the whole, the general assembly, which has no earthly mission, or it is a local congregation. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Ephesians 5 and verse 25 says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20 and verse 28 tells us that Christ purchased the church with his own blood. So if the church is the body of Christ, over which Christ reigns as the head, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, if Christ loved and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5 and verse 25, if Christ purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28, does it not make sense that Christ would define the type of government and assembly and authority by which the church acts? Doesn't that make sense? You know, Sherry and I behind our house right now are building a big deck. and which we're purchasing with our own money. We purchased this debt. Who's deciding how this debt is going to look like? Well, Sherry does. No, but we are. You know, who has the authority to make the decisions? See, it's the same answer in both cases. Who owns the house? Who owns the debt? Who owns the church? Where does the authority lie? Well, see, if we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, we read one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. See, there's one ruler. There is one authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 5 and 6. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we care for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through Him we live. See, there's one God, one Lord, one Jesus Christ, by whom all things are by Him. See, He has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given to Christ in heaven and in earth. Matthew chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. In this context, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter wants to build tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. And in beginning in verse 5, it says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, why hear ye him? Because that's where all the authority lies. See, in Hebrews 1 and verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past through the fathers and the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He has made the world. See, He's speaking to us by His Son. Through His Son. That makes sense. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He is the head. The church is His body. That's where all the authority lies. So then who should we be listening to? We should be listening to Christ. To Him we must listen. To Him every knee must bow. Look at Acts chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. See, in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, in all things, you need to listen. Why? Because that's where the authority lies. See, it makes sense. It's his church. Will you look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28? Matthew chapter 19 and beginning in verse 28. Assuredly, I say unto you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the thrones of His glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice here Christ is speaking. Christ is addressing his apostles. And he's referencing thrones here. He's referencing thrones of authority. And while they were sitting on these thrones, they would rule and judge over the 12 tribes of Israel. So what's represented here is that they were to govern or rule the 12 tribes of Israel during the time they were sitting on the throne. We look at Romans chapter 9 and verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. But is it not that the word of God hath taken no effect? For they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. See, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Or there are some which are in spiritual Israel who are not in physical Israel. They are not all Israel that are in Israel. Well, see, Galatians chapter 6 and verses 16. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. So as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. See, as many as walk by the rule are the Israel of God. So we have apostles sitting on apostolic thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. See, there are 12 total tribes of Israel. They're judging Israel while they're sitting on the thrones. But see, who is Israel? Well, Galatians 6 and verse 16, Israel is the group that is walking by the rule. See, who's walking by or who is respecting the rule of the apostles, those who respect the authority of Christ. See, this is apostolic authority. Those who recognize Christ as the head of the church and submit themselves to his authority, those are the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned in Matthew 19 and verse 28, because they're willingly submitting. They recognize Christ as the head. See, that's the church. See, the authority for the church flows from the apostles who get their authority from Christ. Well, when does this happen? Matthew 19 and verse 28, it happens during the time of regeneration. See, the time of regeneration was the time when Christ was sitting on his throne of glory and when the apostles were sitting on the 12 thrones. Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead on the third day. See, it behooved Christ to suffer and rise again on the third day. You look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 21. God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. You look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, the washing of regeneration is equivalent to the regeneration that's referenced in Matthew 19 and verse 28. You look at Hebrews 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our spirits sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, we today are living in the period of regeneration, the gospel dispensation. The apostles are now sitting on their 12 thrones, ruling and judging the church, because the church is submitting to their authority. Well, see, then you look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 4. Acts chapter 16 and verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. See, the point here, Paul and Silas were traveling on their preaching trips, and in this context, it's following Acts chapter 15, where the apostles got together and decided what to do about the circumcision of the Gentiles. But the point is, as they're going through the churches, they're advising them what to do. They're telling them this is what the apostles decreed. You look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed and unbeliever, what shall they say? Verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. See, Paul was writing the commandments of the Lord. So see, the baseline that we've established here in regard to authority, Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. Apostolic authority is equivalent to the authority of Christ because He gave them that authority. The New Testament is the standard of authority given by Christ and ministered by the apostles. So the conclusion to this is the New Testament is where we find a description of the church as God would have it be. So what does the Bible say about the church? Well, first off, there is a pattern. Look at Acts 14 and verse 23. Acts 14 and verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Acts 14 and verse 23, elders in every church. See, the pattern is ordained elders in every church. You look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. See, if a church does not have elders, and in this context, if a local congregation does not have elders, something is lacking. Furthermore, notice the pattern. Elders in every local congregation. Remember the definition of the church. It's either the aggregate body, it's either the universal church, or it's the local congregation. That's the only two ways the church is used in the New Testament. Well, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, it says feeding the flock, taking oversight thereof. You look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls. And those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. See, elders are charged, are with watching on behalf of the souls under their area of oversight. See, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted of double honor, especially those who labor in the word of doctrine. Elders that rule well. See, notice all this oversight and all this ruling and all this feeding. It implies a close relationship between the elder and the congregation over which he has oversight, and over the individuals whom he leads. See, based on the Bible, this is the pattern. That's why elders have oversight of only one local congregation. They are members of that congregation. It's the relationship. Well, as you continue on, Philippians 1 and verse 1, there's bishops and deacons in every church. You look at Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, there's members in every church. See, that is the pattern for the New Testament church. See, the church is really very simple. The church is not a complicated entity. The key is to simply let the church be the church as it is described in the pages of the New Testament. When we go beyond what the church of God is designed to be, we go beyond the church as Christ established it and as the Bible revealed it, it's no longer the church. And we're refusing to recognize the authority that Christ has over the church. We simply need to let the church be the church. You see, in the realm of authority, the question comes down to each one of us. Have you submitted yourself to Christ's authority? See, that's the question each one of us needs to answer individually. Anyway, our time is exhausted. I went very quickly there, and I know I downloaded a lot of information very fast. Hopefully that was edifying to everyone. We will take about a 6 or 7 minute break here at the building, and we will be back at 9:30.